Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of Young Valley Leaders, where we feature the upcoming movers and shakers in our backyard who are making a difference for themselves and our community. I'm your host, Lewis Holzman, and today I'm here with Julian Garidi.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me, Lewis. I really appreciate this. I'm excited.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on. Yeah. Lots to be excited about. A couple of weeks out of a pretty big announcement that you just made, and so we're definitely going to dig into that. But before we do, I want to talk about where you came from, how you got here a little bit. I mean, you're born and raised in Allentown, been a staple of the community for decades, particularly your family, both your parents really ingrained. It was funny when we were walking up here to the station in Southside Bethlehem, you were mentioning how you just remember as a kid coming to Five Points between your parents' ventures, and it's a lot of full circle moments. So being just truly ingrained here for a long time, and now you as your own self from a professional standpoint, from you know, really an adult standpoint, as you came back from Florida three or so years ago.
About to be 3 years in a couple of days.
Yeah. So, you know, really starting to make your own impact from, you know, reality TV contestant to a little bit behind the scenes civil service, working in, you know, State Senator Nick Miller's office here, helping to lead the charge. Definitely not a stranger to the public. And you're ready to take that next leap here. 2 weekends ago, made an announcement. You want to tell us what that announcement was?
The announcement was running for state representative of the 22nd district.
Is that where we go? So heck yeah, that's super exciting. And a big piece of this show, you know, thinking about young leaders and the people that are making an impact here. And it's so, so incredible. The younger generation has stepped up and all categories in industries, but now when we think about public policy and public office and being able to have a seat at the table, the fact that I can just off the top of my head think of like three or four people that are in their early 30s, you know, 40s even, that like are doing it and advocating for our area and for everybody here, no matter the age. Big props to you, man, and really looking forward to learning more.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's interesting. There's a couple of people that come up to me that are like involved, but not so much. And they're like, wow, I can't believe how young you are. And I'm like, listen, my boss is 30. Well, actually, he turned 31 December 1st. And then Josh Siegel, who hopefully will take his seat, I think he's 31. There's a lot of young people around me that are doing even more. So I don't see that as being a factor. I'm just like, let's just do what we got to do.
And the bricks were laid. I mean, particularly in, you know, the public office sector. I mean, you think about, I'll call it like maybe the next generation above us, the Pete Schweiers of the world, the Mike Schlossbergs of the world, that were kind of doing similarly at and around our age and now have been in, you know, in their careers in politics for the past 15, 20, 25 years. I got to imagine there's some good mentorship and a really good group of just camaraderie in and around like the how to's that we don't necessarily see, you know, but behind closed doors and certainly in those sectors with colleagues. But I mean, even going back to your dad, I mean, longtime Allentown city councilman.
Yeah.
I mean, you basically grew up in it. Like, did you know, I mean, this kind of leads me into the first question I had, like, did you know that you would want to go into some type of public office, like growing up, or was this something that just like, you know, inherently found you?
It definitely found me. I tried to run away from it my entire life. I didn't see myself doing it whatsoever. Primarily just because I saw the stress that it kind of came with. You know, my father did a really good job in kind of like keeping politics like outside of the home and kind of like filling us in on everything that he was doing. He was more involved in just what I was doing as a kid and in school. But no, I had no idea that I was going to venture into this. It's interesting. There's a lot of people that say, like, oh, like, you know, are you doing this because of your dad? Or is he steering you in the right direction? Or is he being your mentor? And just like, oh, it makes sense that you're doing this. And I do attribute a lot to him, of course. However, it's everyone that you've just mentioned. Being involved with Senator Miller's office, I've been able to meet a lot of different people that are doing amazing things, regardless if it's as an elected official or just in the nonprofit area or just a regular person who's just volunteering their time because they just want the betterment for the community. All that stuff inspired me. So it's a collective of people and organizations that came together that kind of like instilled this in me without them knowing. But of course, it did start with my father and him breaking barriers down. And for my entire life, I've always had to be cautious of what I was doing and what I was saying, because, you know, my dad would always be like, hey, listen, like, you know, I am an elected official, you got to be careful. And it was all good. It was fine. But I did my own thing for a while. You alluded to the to the TV little series. But but no, I owe it to this community just inspiring me the last couple of years of taking this step. There's, like I said, there's people doing amazing things that maybe don't get the praise and the accolades and the public media as maybe an elected official gets on a regular time. But it's inspiring to see how this community comes together.
So when you think about some of those actions or people that gave you that inspiration over the years, whether you pull forward some specific examples or more so even just dive into, like, what were you actually doing? Like, what your role with State Senator Nick Miller in his office about 3 years or so in doing so, what did that entail? And then, you know, the double question on top of that would be, moving, if you would become elected and take over Josh Siegel's seat, what would that entail? I mean, we did have him on the show last year, so there may be some familiarity, but also maybe it's a blank slate. So kind of two time that.
So for Senator Miller, I was a constituent service representative. So I am at the front lines of issues that constituents have in his district, which is pretty vast. People call in on a daily basis. A lot of calls come in about just issues that are being that can be resolved at the state level. Or if there's a lot of people that it can't be resolved at a state level, but we'll lead them in the right direction. So I've been able to provide a lot of solutions, whether it be from unemployment issues to services with Medicaid to, you know, senior rent rebates or property tax rent rebates to get people like a little bit of relief on all the money that they've paid over the year on a fixed income. So there's a multitude of issues that we, as constituent services representatives, come together and try to resolve for these people. And we do that by having liaisons up at the state level in Harrisburg. I mean, we're able to get solutions and answers to their issues at a much faster rate. It's been very rewarding to do that type of work. You know, my father has always told me, as long as you're doing something to help people, that's what you should be doing. And the amount of people that I've been able to help has been, like you said, it's been another step of why I've taken this journey. It's interesting. I speak a lot more Spanish in my role than I do English because of the increase of population, in especially in Allentown, obviously.
Sure.
And because of that, a lot of them also, I would help them out, whatever the case was. And then it was, oh, so what's your name? And I would tell them my name, and they're like, oh, are you Julio's son? Like, Julio Grita? Yeah, he's helped me so much. Oh, my God. Like, it's amazing that you're doing the same work. And that happened a lot.
Wow.
A lot of times where I've helped someone, and then they're like, oh, like, you're Julio's son. Like, okay, makes sense. So it's been rewarding. It's been very rewarding to follow in his footsteps in that way without even knowing that it was going to affect me in that way. But the most incredible thing is just being able to help people.
Wow.
That's my job on a daily basis.
It's like leaving a legacy before you actually leave.
Yeah, I mean, it's that wasn't the plan. It's just, to be honest with you, I was just looking for a job and something that I could do, like I said, to give back in a way. I knew of Nick from high school and college. We both went to the same high school and college. We were cool, but we never really like hung out that way. We just had a lot of mutual friends.
Right.
It was just a coincidence that whenever I would come home to visit my family from the little bit of time that I spent in Florida, Nick just happened to have an event. And my dad would be like, oh, let's go to this. I'm like, okay. So I saw a little bit of his events, his fundraisers, his announcements. So when I came back, I'm like, well, Nick's hiring. Like, all right, let's check it out. Let's see what it is. Got the job, and it's nice to work for someone who is extremely genuine and passionate about what he does. So I could talk about Nick all day. He's an amazing person. But so that's part of it. And then the second question was
the next part. I mean, you were working for Nick, but now you're going to go out and you're going to have your own office, right? So
hopefully.
Let's not put the cart ahead of the horse, but
yeah.
You know, what does that look like? And not just necessarily running your own office, but what is the role you anticipate to step into as a state representative?
Being able to give back as much as possible. I learned very quickly that a lot of the things that occur here in the community happen up in Harrisburg. Everything. A lot of the money that gets allocated through to certain organizations. So a lot of the things that go on here happen in Harrisburg. Obviously, the policies and the policy-related things also happen there, which is more obvious. But if you want things to happen here, it needs to be advocated for up there in Harrisburg and be able to create relationships. So create policies, ensure that money gets allocated in the right places, to the right organizations, to whether it be nonprofits, to first responders, being able to create a team. That's going to be huge as well, is being able to find a right team, which Nick has done a marvelous job doing. So I'm not talking about myself, just everyone else is amazing at what they do.
You can't poach his team.
No, never that. No, but it's going to be up there advocating for what people want here.
And so I want to pull something forward that you mentioned, a lot of what you're doing in Nick's office is speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I imagine that will continue, if not even at a more elevated rate, being a little bit more front and center in the limelight, people knowing they can have a representative with a Latin background, Spanish speaking, and just understanding the culture and the community at a very deep and organic level. I got to imagine, even just from straight voting standpoint, that's helpful.
Yeah, it's been very helpful for them as constituents to come in and come to the office and feel extremely comfortable. Before Nick was there, and Pat Brown was there, and he had Spanish-speaking constituent services representatives there as well. The way they did the transition, like Nick did with his team, was very seamless and perfect because they made sure that they had Spanish speakers on their staff. So people would call in all the time and just immediately just start speaking Spanish. And I was able to help them out, and they felt comfortable searching out for advice or resolutions that they needed. But yes, I will have to speak a lot more Spanish than I normally do, which I normally either at work or at home. But now it'll be speeches in Spanish in every part of either here in the district or in Harrisburg, which I'm excited to do.
Yeah, it probably takes some dust off in some ways, particularly on the speeches standpoint. Like, when's the last time you wrote a 5-paragraph essay in Spanish?
Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, the TV show was helpful because...
What was the TV show, by the way?
It's called Enamorándonos, okay. Which means falling in love in Spanish.
Okay.
So the entire thing was in Spanish. So that helped me a lot to dust off a little bit of Spanish as well.
Yeah.
But growing up, going back to what you said with the culture as well, it's not just me speaking Spanish. It's also I understand the culture. Growing up, I would always go to the Dominican Republic. So I understand exactly where all the people that are coming over from DR or from New York to here, I understand exactly where they come from.
And a big piece of community is not just physically being there, but knowing the energy in which it thrives. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we come back into the second session here. But for right now, I'm Lewis Holzman. We're here with Julian Garidi, and we'll be right back.
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning podcasts that air weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, business, health, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archived programs. WDIY podcasts are on 88.1 FM, streaming at wdiy.org, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, jumping back in here, Young Valley Leaders, Lewis Holzman here with Julian Garidi. We are, episode 24. This is pretty crazy, man. 2 years that we've been doing this. Thanks for taking the time here, jumping on with us. And we've been talking about your announcement to be state representative here and fill in for the vacant seat that will be left for Josh Siegel as he enters his county executive role. We are talking about the community and making an impact. We're talking about the Latin and Spanish speaking community and what it means to understand community more than just hearing the words. So would love to get your insight. If you would go back 15 years, go back to, you mentioned you and Nick went to the same high school. You weren't really friends, similar people, but go back to that time frame. Knowing what you know right now, what would you tell yourself then?
I would tell myself to hang around my dad a lot more. get more of his advice, more of his mentorship, more of his trajectory of how he's been able to do everything that he's done. Yeah, ask more questions. You know, as a kid, you kind of want to do your own thing. And like, oh, just because my dad does it, I don't want to do it. Doesn't mean I have to do it. But now that I know that I'm in this path and following his footsteps, I would have loved to have been able to ask more questions, which I can do now.
Thankfully, you still can.
Yeah, I still can, thank God. But I've also been able to do it on my own, as in with this community and with the people around me, and not just strictly go based off of his advice.
Sure.
I've been able to take a step back and just learn exactly how to do this and how to get involved. And people have really been taking me under their wing, which is why I also got involved with the Lehigh County Democratic Committee.
How important was that?
It was very important. It is very important. It allowed me to go to more community events on my personal time. It allowed me to speak to more voters and more constituents about the importance of voting, or just letting them know what we could do for them. But extremely important to get myself out there even more, and also to know if I really want to do this. The last couple of years, I've filled my calendar to the brim as much as possible.
I gotta imagine so many events.
Yeah.
How big is Nick's area? It's like up towards.
Yeah, it's up towards like up towards Wanna north, Port, yeah, like Bath and all that.
Like,
yeah.
Down through like Quakertown or something like that. Yeah, right.
It's massive.
Yeah.
But it's been incredible with the Lehigh County Dems, because not only did I do it on work time, I was able to do it on my personal time with the Lehigh County Dems, and just I would seek out a lot of networking opportunities, or like I said, community events, any volunteering that I could do with like Salvation Army, just trying to be everywhere, because I wanted to fully engulf myself to see, like I said, to see if I really wanted to do this, and I'm still here. Yeah. So it started to create a fire under me and started allowing me to be more passionate about this work.
So how do you create the space and time and mental energy for a filled calendar like that? You know, like whether it's striking balance to keep composure in your life, or it's just constant keeping balance, quote unquote balance of a lot of hectic activity. Like, how do you keep that all set? Healthy habits, routines, self-care, et cetera, to make it move forward.
Something that I've never really talked about is I'm a big believer in God. So that is the first thing on my mind as soon as I wake up, before I go to bed. I pray throughout the day to just give me that balance and that mental clarity to just keep going. And also the gym. The gym helps. I make sure I wake up, and that's one of the first things I do too. I go to the gym, work out early in the morning, so I don't have an excuse of not showing up after a busy day.
It's so hard to get there after a busy day. It's tough. It's near impossible, let alone any events you might be going to after the fact.
It's tough. Also, I owe it a lot to my family too. You grow up with go-getters.
Yeah.
We're very ambitious people.
Sure.
You're bound to be that way as well. And my dad took away the word tired from our vocabulary at a very young age. So we're not allowed to say tired. We just keep going.
Like, legitimately took it away.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, you don't need to be tired. You're young. Keep going. Like, you'll be fine. All right. So.
Did both your parents immigrate here?
Yeah. So my dad came here when he was 15 from the Dominican Republic, from the farmlands of the Dominican Republic. And then he went to middle school, high school, college, got his master's. He then met my mother in DR, and they got engaged, and she came when she was 23.
Wow.
And then as soon as she got here, she had to go to ESL classes, learn the language. She started a job immediately, and within a couple months, the owner of the business told my dad, listen, your wife knows everything about this business, a travel agency. You guys should start your own. And that is why, as you alluded to earlier, that I was over in Five Points a lot in Bethlehem, because my mother opened up a travel agency in the 90s and had it for 13 years. And then Expedia and Priceline, you could just do that on your own. So they had to pivot, and that's why she opened up the salon.
Okay.
So they came and they went to work. They went to work, and there was no way my brother and I were going to do anything else besides being ambitious and working as well. the balance was always instilled, God first, my parents, and then my parents always used to put on The Secret, if you know what that is.
I definitely do.
Yeah. So whenever we were in the
car. Your parents showed you that, though. Your parents would throw that on? Yeah. That's pretty incredible. Good for them.
Yeah. They would put it on because they were listening to themselves for their own advantages. But then we would be in the car and they would just play that all the time.
So I want to dig in on that a little bit more. Not specifically The Secret, but thinking about some of those core values and the principles that were instilled in you, early on. But I imagine either have evolved or you still live and work by, every day. And can you share what some of those are that you attribute your success to?
Being as kind as possible, having good energy towards people. Whenever I see someone that I could have seen already like 10 times within that week, I act like I've seen them for the first time in a while, every single time. And it's not out of fakeness or anything. It's just the type of person I am, and I love seeing my friends. I love seeing people that I've met recently. And whenever I see them, I treat them with a smile and say, hey, how's it going? What's up? Allow them to speak and update me on anything that's going on in the kindest way. I treat others how I would want to be treated, which is very corny and basic, but that's just how I am.
It's something that unfortunately is not, it's very simple, but is not very easy to follow here in our society, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. But, relationships is, I believe, the key to my success, if you call it success already, is networking and relationships. My parents, like I said, they came here alone, just them. They built a family. It was just us. I remember in school, they would ask us during the holidays, what are you guys doing? And everyone would have, my uncle, my aunt, my cousins are all coming. And I'm like, it's just us. It's just my parents and my brother. That's it. So we had no choice but to be social and create friendships and relationships. It would just been us alone.
Yeah, but even you four alone, that tight bond, that tight circle is impenetrable in so many ways, I'm sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I'm very family oriented. We do everything together. So,
I've seen you guys out collectively, and it is your whole family when I see you guys out, which is, it's a beautiful thing. You kind of success, if that's what I call it. everyone, you look at success a little differently. I mean, it might not be like the pinnacle or the end game of where success in your mind is, but certainly success is measured in different ways. Success is just waking up and being able to breathe again in some ways, So a lot of these little nuggets here and being able to then navigate through, not only your career and your journey back here in Allentown, but making an impact collectively as young leaders, be able to move this forward helps each other.
I would not be anywhere, my family, myself, we would not be here without the relationships and this specific community. So anything I could do to give back, I will do that.
So changing it up a little bit here,
yeah.
Any projects or travel or initiatives that you're excited about that's coming up, whether it's end of year, whether it's next year, anything that you're looking forward to?
Getting this win.
getting this dub. That's probably the biggest project.
Yeah. I just want to make sure I do everything that's possible to ensure that I get this victory. I'm going to work my butt off doing that. And I think it'll be for the benefit of for the community. I think I'll be the right person for the job. And I'm excited to show that with action.
Thinking about running and getting this win, what is the platform that you want to run on that you're most, important to you to push?
Yeah, because of everything that I've done, speaking with constituents on a daily basis, first thing is housing. We need affordable housing here.
Yeah.
That is the biggest thing. I know everyone's aware of it. I know it's not just here. It's nationwide. However, we can't continue to kick the can down the road. We just have to keep advocating for it and keep creating those relationships to make sure that we continue to get resources allocated to Allentown, which will be my district, Brent Salisbury, to ensure that we could build more housing.
Yeah, it's needed on a nationwide scale, but Allentown, obviously, it's where your district, Allentown Salisbury, but it's one of the fastest growing areas in the nation, percentage wise. So, housing definitely is critical there. Not only fastest growing, but also fastest increase in housing costs.
Yes.
As well. So there's a lot of factors and variables going on.
Yeah. So we gotta make it attractive to do that. You know, we all, I'm sure everyone in this room wants more housing for people that need it. But how are we gonna get there? Who's gonna come and say, you know, it's a business at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So what developers are gonna come and want to build more? And we also have the Downtown Housing Authority as well there, so we gotta make sure that they have what they need.
Yeah, there's definitely progress in place, and we've seen a lot of development across the Lehigh Valley. You know, it seems like it's not being built fast enough for how people are coming. And something that's always been interesting to me is, oh, we need more housing, or no, not enough low-income housing. And in some cases, I'd argue we do have a good amount of housing. It's just particularly from a single-family home or some of the single-family homes that have been chopped up into apartments, like they've been just dilapidated for decades. And so what kind of programming, and this is just me spitballing off my head, what kind of programming can we figure out that entices, whether it's a small-time landlord or it's, you know, a person that's buying a house, but it is expensive and the house needs so much work because of whatever the reasons are, what kind of programs can we help, you know, and give subsidies to the little guys? We do have a lot of, you know, and I'm glad we do, you know, yeah, bigger subsidies for some bigger developers. But, you know, we talk about it takes a village, or it takes a community, and the one-to-one-to-one-to-one-to-one people buying, that goes a long way, too.
It does. It does. And you know, our Josh started doing that and advocating for that, so I'll give him kudos for that. But, you know, I need to continue that once I get there. Second thing as well is first responders. I want to ensure that they have the resources that they need. I'm endorsed by Downtown Firefighters as of right now, so
nice.
I want to ensure that they get what they need as well. But firefighters, police officers, paramedics, I want them to have the resources that they need, especially the police. Unfortunately, with all the great things that are happening in Allentown, there's still a stigma that it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully having being able to provide a little bit more resources for them, they're able to, you know, clean that up a little bit more.
And, so, you know, it's a stigma, exactly that. Not that nothing never happens, right? Yeah. But, I mean, comparatively to 30 years ago, it's night and day. And certainly has been really well cleaned up over the years. So a lot of the stigma, I think, comes from people who actually don't spend any time in the city.
Yeah.
We'll get around that one of these days. Yeah. We do got to wrap up pretty soon here. But before we leave, I want to give an opportunity. How can people find you or get in touch with you?
Yeah, it will be Julian Garrity for PA. That'll be either .com or that'll be my name on Facebook or on Instagram as well. Even TikTok, I'm on there as well. So Julian Garrity for PA.
Awesome. Yeah. Julian Garrity for PA. And then any last comments, final advice, words of strength or encouragement for any of our leaders listening in?
I'll go back to what I mentioned earlier is networking. Just doing that as much as you can. And when you show up to these networking events or anywhere where there's people, just take the risk and just talk to people. Just present yourself. If you got to be that guy to interrupt the conversation, do it. I've seen people do it to me and someone I'm talking to for a while, and they just show up and they start talking to me. I'm like, all right, let's talk. Why not? That's why we're here.
Yeah, right.
So the more people you meet, the better. Especially if you go into the field of where you want to go, that's the biggest thing. Like I said, I would not be here without this community and the relationship that I've created. So this has all been a team effort.
Build the relationships, show up, make the networks, make the interruption, and be that guy.
Be it. It's okay.
It's okay. Love it, Julian. Hey, thank you so much. That about does it here for episode 24 of Young Valley Leaders. Thank you for joining us, taking the time here today. Good luck. Congratulations on the announcement. Good luck on the next road to come.
Thank you.
Sometime in early 2026, the formal election will happen. Is that fair to say?
So special election, hopefully somewhat early 2026, and then primary will be in May. So okay, it'll be back to back.
Okay. Yeah. So don't forget to get to go out there to vote, not just for this, but just in general. You can find the show airing monthly on WDIY 88.1 on the second Monday of every single month at 6:30 p.m. and forever streaming with all other episodes on NPR, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and WDIY's website and social media channels. Big shout out to people making this program possible. Laura Matthews with an awesome logo for Young Valley Leaders brand. Matt Cajun live and in studio with us behind the cameras. As always, thank you so much, James, Seamus, and all the good folks here at WDIY that create the space and the energy for us to bring this show to life, disseminate it across the mediums, and give us the space to tell our stories. Again, I'm Lewis Holzman, host of Young Valley Leaders, here with Julian Grady, WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. See you next month.